You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, A Hope That Never Ends. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
According to the New York Times, the population of France was surprised by the recent unexpected action of their president, François Mitterrand. As he neared his 80th birthday last December, Mitterrand took a surprising step. He made a special visit to a so-called Christian philosopher. These two men then spoke about life and about death. For Mitterrand, this was indeed a very surprising action, because, you see, all of his life he had claimed publicly to be an atheist. The actions of this leader, however, should not be all that surprising, because 6 months earlier, doctors had told Mitterrand that he had cancer and that he had only 6 months to live. This factor, perhaps more than any other, was the real reason why this lifelong atheist suddenly wanted to talk about life and death and whether there was any hope. The lifelong attitude of spiritual unconcern of the president of France is not really all that unusual. Millions of people today go through life as if they will live forever. Scores of people now share the misguided thinking of the famous radio personality Arthur Godfrey, who in his later years confessed that through much of his life he had believed that he was the one person who would never die. When a health crisis arrives, however, and when people get older, the reality of life sets in. Neither illness or aging is a respecter of persons or class, whether one is a president or pauper, king, street person, or radio announcer. The ultimate question of life is always the same. The question may be new to us, but it is certainly not new to history. It is the same old question Job raised centuries ago. If a man dies, will he live again? Is there any hope? God's good news for our generation is this: there is hope, and this hope is built upon the words that the angels spoke at the first Easter. Jesus Christ had been crucified on the cross. His beaten and bloody body was laid in a tomb, and on Easter morning, Jesus' grieving followers had come to the tomb to anoint their master's lifeless corpse. But instead of finding a closed tomb, they found an open sepulcher with two angels nearby. These angels said, "He, Jesus, is not here. He has arisen." And this good news that the crucified Christ was alive again stirred the emotions, and it triggered endless excitement among Jesus' followers. Sadly, however, the basis of the first Easter excitement is today missing. Oh, to be sure, there will be parties in 1995, there will be parades, there will be eating, and there will be drinking, and there will be amusement, and there will be entertainment. The Easter excitement, however, of most people in 1995 will pale, yes, it will fade, in comparison to the undying and everlasting excitement experienced by believers who focus their faith on the historic facts of the first Easter. And so, in order to be certain that you and I can participate in the excitement of the first Easter, let's listen to the dramatic events which took place shortly before and during these event-filled days. On Thursday night, Jesus was arrested. During the night and also on Friday morning, he was given a trial. Later that same day, Jesus was nailed to the cross. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus died. Shortly thereafter, Jesus' followers took his lifeless body and laid it in a tomb. Then, 3 days later, the Bible describes how on early Sunday morning, Jesus' loyal followers went to the tomb. They were hoping to anoint the cold corpse of their crucified master. Listen as St. Mark describes the rest of the story. Very early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to the tomb. The sun had just risen, and as they hurried to the tomb, there was one question that bothered these ladies. who, they thought, will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb? But then, suddenly, even as they looked up, they noticed that the extremely large stone which had covered the entrance had already been rolled away. The anxious ladies then entered the tomb, and there, the Bible says, they saw a young man sitting, wearing a white robe. They were amazed. The man said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. This man is not here. He has arisen. Look," the man told the ladies, "look, here is the place where they laid him." Oh, now the ladies did not know what to do. This was all too much for them, and they were filled with excitement, and their hearts were also filled with a bit of fear. The Bible tells us they went out and they fled from the tomb. They were trembling. Astonishment had gripped them. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid. Oh, they knew that Jesus had been crucified and that he had actually died, and now the grave was empty, and they had seen it all with their own eyes. We may find the account of the first Easter extremely exciting and even entertaining, but I don't believe that it would be any different today if you or I were told by an angel that one of our best friends or a family member who had just died was alive again and up and walking around. This good news of the resurrection of the dead is also the firm foundation for all the excitement of the first Easter. This event took place nearly 2,000 years ago. This drama and excitement is based on history. And this is also why so many Easter celebrations of the 20th century are so disappointing. They are all too often based only upon parties and secular hoopla. The excitement of the first Easter was much different, very, very different. A man called Jesus who had been dead was now alive again. He was up. Yes, he was walking around and he was appearing to people. His resurrection was beyond all doubt. And this is the same man, yes, the same God, who now promises all of his followers that through faith in him, they too can conquer death and the grave. And so, my friend, today, through sincere repentance of your sins and through simple faith in the crucified and resurrected Christ, the promise of the Savior can now become your greatest possession. Jesus is saying to you at this hour, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Let there be no more need for you to ever wonder again or worry again about what you will do or where you will go when your life is finished. Cling instead with solid and certain hope to the promise of Jesus when he said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you." In his grace and in Jesus Christ, let God establish in your heart a solid faith built upon the words Jesus spoke, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies." In spite of all our advanced technology, we have still very little control over life and death. Every age group in 1995 is being put to increased risk as diseases which were once believed to be eradicated are now reappearing. Life is becoming not more, but less assuring. Plus, even if we do live to be old, longevity alone offers no eternal hope. Our nation's elderly and retiring population is dramatically increasing. In 1995, 21 million people will be nearing retirement age. In 25 short years, this number will double to 42 million. And with millions more having stiff limbs and squeaking joints, there is one question that we will surely be hearing more and more often. Is there any reason to live? Why not just die or even commit suicide and get it all over with? From a secular point of view, of course, getting old can be hell, as one guest columnist in Newsweek magazine has pointed out. But it doesn't have to be that way. There are many senior citizens, scores of them, who are happy, even though they are incapacitated. These folks are not only enjoying the final years of their lives, they are looking forward with even greater anticipation for the joy of the life to come. These people know that the central message of the Bible is true. Jesus Christ was born to die, and Jesus died so that he could rise again and publicly declare victory over sin, death, and the devil. You, my friend, can be part of Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus is now inviting you to be united with him in his glorious and victorious resurrection. Jesus is not some dead hero. Jesus is living, and he is living now. It is also in Jesus that you can have a new life. In his letter to the early Christians, recorded in the Bible in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes that in baptism we are buried with Christ into his death, and that through this same baptism we are raised from the dead with Christ and are joined with the Savior in a new life. Time magazine, January 10, 1994, featured several recently published books which cast doubt on Christ's identity and his salvation work. After many conflicting statements about faith, at the end of his article, the author then asks this question: is it possible for ordinary churchgoers today to hear all these modern conflicting stories about Jesus and then decide which one of them is correct? This type of talk is totally ridiculous. No one today need rest his or her faith on modern speculation. And no one needs to fatalistically throw the dice to decide on faith. For centuries, books and authors have tried to question and to undermine and even destroy the Christ of the Bible. No one, however, has ever been successful. Jesus Christ is a fact of history. He was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. Jesus was a great teacher, but he was more than a great teacher. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he did more than just die on the cross. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. There are scores of historical events that we can celebrate, and there are numerous valiant heroes of history that we can consecrate. There are even noble men and women of history we should imitate. Jesus, however, must never be limited to any one of these categories. Jesus was and still is true God and true man. Jesus died on the cross to make full payment for all of your sins and mine. And Jesus rose again on the first Easter to make a public guarantee that all he ever said and that all he ever did is absolutely true. And so today, Jesus desires to be more than your hero. He wants to be your Savior from sin. Jesus is not asking people to admire him. Jesus is urging people to receive him by faith, and by the same faith to be empowered unto a new life of forgiveness and hope. Several years ago, television mogul Ted Turner angered millions of people by calling Christianity a religion for losers. Last year, in his address to the National Press Club, Ted Turner explained his religious views even more clearly. Turner said that he really doesn't want to go to heaven. Instead, he looks forward to going to hell. Well, in our anger, we might relish ranting and raving over Turner's sacrilegious remarks, and we may even feel pity for someone who is so blinded by his hatred of religion that he can no longer think clearly. But these people need our love and our prayers. May our gracious God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, break the shell of atheism and unbelief of all atheists and help them to see the grace of God and the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is then no better summary of what the joy of Easter is all about than those words written by the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ was delivered up for our transgressions, and he was raised again for our justification. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, and he rose again on Easter morning to guarantee our salvation. Believe the words of Jesus, my friend. Jesus is your Savior. And on this Easter, with love, Jesus is saying to you, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." O Lord, we pray, may the hope of your Easter resurrection become a reality in the hearts of all listeners today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.